Please take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn them to the book of Psalms, Psalm 63. And if you are physically able, please stand with me as we read God's holy, infallible, inspired Word. Psalm 63. And before we read the psalm, I want to ask you two questions so that you might examine your own spiritual condition before God this morning. First, what does your heart long after? Second, what satisfies your soul? What does your heart long after this morning? What satisfies your soul? Psalm 63. The Word of God says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. O God, we come before You one more time and we plead for Your blessing to be on us this day. As we come to Your Word, we ask that You would open the eyes of our understanding so that we might fear You as we ought. We thank You for the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He humbled Himself, became a servant. He laid His life as a sacrifice for our sins. We're thankful for the unmerited grace that we have through our Lord and Savior. And we pray, God, that He would be magnified, that He would be glorified, that we would seek afresh after Him this morning. Oh Lord, I pray that the unconverted, those who are without Christ this day, that they would have this prayer of David's, that they would cry out from their heart even this day through the working and the power of Your Holy Spirit, that they would say and proclaim, O God, Thou art my God. And for those who do know You by Your grace, through Christ, O Father, I pray that You would lift their hearts up. May they find reason to rejoice and to thank You for all the many blessings that You bestow upon us daily. Father, we ask the Spirit would be our teacher. He would lead us and guide us into all truth. We pray that we would cast off sin and that we would look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. O Lord, do a work in our hearts, not for our sake, O Lord, but for Your name's sake, so that You might be glorified. O Lord, we pray that You would so work in the heart and soul of just one today, that the angels in heaven would rejoice over sinners who repent. Lord, I ask for Your divine help. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are three things I want you to consider from our text this morning in Psalm 63. And those three things are the thirsting soul, the satisfied soul, and the trusting soul. And David gives us a picture of the reality of his own heart, of his own soul. And we see, first and foremost this morning, the thirsting soul. The thirsting soul is a soul that desires to know God personally. See here in our text in verse number 1, David cries out, O God, Thou art my God. David was not a Christian because he was of the Jewish nation, because he was a Jew. David was not a Christian because he was the king of Israel. David was a Christian because he believed and the promise of the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come to make himself a ransom for the sins of mankind. He believed in the promises of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that there would be one who would come to sacrifice himself for the sins of mankind. So don't be fooled, my dear friend, for those who think that David is just chosen by God to be his child because he is simply of the Jewish race. No. And don't be fooled to think just because of his position in the land, being a king, that he is chosen to be a sheep in God's sheepfold. Now, David has this thirst in his heart and his soul, and his praise, his mouth, utters these words by saying, O God, Thou art my God, because he knows God personally through the person of Jesus Christ. The thirsting soul desires to know God personally. The thirsting soul desires to know God personally because of God's unmerited love. He continues, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Oh, David recalls being in the wilderness, the time of seeing God's power, seeing God's glory in the sanctuary, in which the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah glory, the glory of God would be bestowed upon the sanctuary. And here he is all by himself in a dark and dry wilderness, and he's crying out for God. God, show me Thy glory. Show me Thy power. God, I know Thee, but I want to know You more. Why does he cry such a prayer? Well, he gives us the answer in verse 3. Because God's loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. See here that the thirsting soul desires to know God personally because God's unmerited love. Why is it that God should choose to love David? Was it anything that David did? Was it anything that David deserved? No. It was only God's unmerited love, God's unmerited grace, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this. So David cries from his heart. He says, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to seek to know God personally because of the unmerited love that was shed abroad in my heart, whereby now I can cry, Abba, Father. God's love was commended to David in that while he was yet a sinner, he knew that Christ would come to die for him. He recalls the wonderful promises of God. And as Jeremiah describes this love in Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3, in which he says, The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Jeremiah 32:18, Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Oh, David desired to seek after God. He desired to seek him personally because he knew that it was the love of God that sought after him. John tells us this, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation of the world. Ask yourself, why does God love me? Was it that He saw some special treasure within me when I was kicking against His holiness and His goodness and His grace as does goats? God does think that you were something special, therefore He cast His love and mercy and grace upon you? No. We were sinners, undone, blind, deaf, spiritually ignorant in our sin, and the love of Jesus Christ seeks after us. And David continues, the thirsting soul desires to worship God with his whole being. Look at verse 4. He says, because of God's love, I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. So we see here that David desires to worship God with his whole being. He says, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. My lips shall praise thee. And I will lift up my hands in thy name. See, every fiber of David's being longs to worship God in sincerity and in truth. The one glimpse and the many glimpses that he did see of God in the sanctuary were not enough. Just like you give a toddler a little taste of cream cheese frosting on that pumpkin muffin, you know he's going back for more. And so it was with David. David had tasted of the goodness of God, the love of God, and he wanted more. And oh, dear Christian, this is our cry. God has shed his love abroad in our hearts. Why us, O Lord? We seek after him afresh and anew. His views of God's glory and power in the sanctuary created within him a longing for more. You ask, well, how did David worship God? Well, he worshiped God through his word, through God's word. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Psalm 119, verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Psalm 119, 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Psalm 119, 69, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. The word of God was the fire in his bones because the word of God revealed Christ to his soul. With his whole heart, he wants to seek after God because the word, the promises that he had been given from God display the love of God. And he desires more. He sought to worship God through the word and through prayer. Psalm 55, 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. David's soul was not only a thirsting soul, but David's soul was a satisfied soul. And the satisfied soul rejoices in God with joy. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. The delicious food that I receive at a banquet, I will be satisfied by the food. But in the spiritual sense, my soul will be satisfied with the bread of life, with the life of Jesus Christ. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. Not only was the love of God spread in his heart through Christ, but the joy in Jesus Christ because of God's love that was given to him, he desires to rejoice in this joy that is found in God and in God alone. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. That is, I can hardly speak of the joy that God has given to me. It overflows within my soul. The satisfied soul remembers God with thanksgiving. Verse 7, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. And going back to verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. He remembers God in the night watches. He remembers God upon his bed. And therefore he rejoices in his God. The satisfied soul remains seeking after God with passion, verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. So David, being satisfied in God, is not satisfied with his satisfaction. He wants more. The satisfied soul continues to seek after God. David's soul was a thirsting soul. David's soul was a satisfied soul. And David's soul was a trusting soul. The trusting soul waits upon God, knowing that God's enemies will be defeated. But those, verse 9, that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. David knows, and David had confidence that every wrong that was done towards God and every wrong that was done towards God's people is seen and known by the Almighty God. And David commits himself to God, knowing that vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. The ungodly man will not prosper. The destroyers shall be destroyed, and the slayers shall be slain. The gates of hell will not overthrow God. They will not overthrow God's work. They will not overthrow God's people. David did not stay up all night, consumed with the thoughts of those who had wronged him. No, he was consumed with his God. The trusting soul also waits upon God, knowing that God will be triumphant. Verse 11. But the king, King David, the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. David, the anointed king, will rejoice in God because his life is hid in Christ in God. Every child of God is victorious in Christ. Romans, Paul writes, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. David had a thirsting soul. David had a satisfied soul. David had a trusting soul. You say, there it is. 3 points. We're done. I want you to notice in your Bibles, after it says Psalm 63, I think most of your Bibles will give a description of this psalm. Where was David when he wrote this? My Bible says, Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Why was David in the wilderness of Judah? David was not in the wilderness of Judah because he went on a camping trip with his family. David was in the wilderness of Judah because he was being sought after by his own son Absalom, who sought to overthrow his own father in the kingdom. That's the context of this psalm. David's in the wilderness running from his son Absalom, heartbroken, forsaken by those closest to him. In the midst of sorrow, heartbreak, David seeks after God and finds satisfaction in God's alone. This is David's testimony. He was a thirsting soul. He had a satisfied soul, and he had a trusting soul in the midst of dark and dry circumstances that were around him. If I close my sermon only focused on David, I have failed to preach the Word of God to you this morning. So our focus is not on David. My focus is to direct this word, this psalm, to your heart. Going back to the two questions I asked you at the beginning of this sermon, number one, what does your heart long after? What satisfies your soul? Do you know God? David could cry out, oh God, Thou art my God. Can you say that here this morning? Can you cry that to the God of heaven, the God of Scripture, the God of the Bible, the one and only true and living God, He who is glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God? Can you say, this is my God? Do you know this God personally? Through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't ask you if you knew about God. I didn't ask you if you grew up in Sunday school. I didn't ask you if you homeschool. I didn't ask you if you know a ton of Scripture. I asked you, do you know the person of Jesus Christ? Is He living within you? Does the Spirit of God dwell within you? David could cry, oh God, Thou art my God. I didn't ask you if God was the God of your mother, of your grandmother. Is He yours? I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. This is the cry of David's heart, and this is the cry of all true children of God. They can cry out, oh God, You are my God, our Father who art in heaven. God, You are our Father. We are Your children through the adoption that is in the Spirit of God. Can you cry this cry this morning? And if you do, you will seek the Lord. You will thirst for the Lord. In sin, you had no desire to seek after God. In sin, there's no fear of God before our eyes. We seek our own ways. We seek our own pleasures. We seek our own pursuits. But thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift of love. And just as the Spirit and love and grace of God changed the heart of Saul of Tarsus, giving him new desires, a new love, new affections. And so God does the transforming work through the Spirit of God, and He calls us by name. He takes us out of the miry pit and sets our feet upon the rock so that we might have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And as we are converted, as we are regenerated, we do seek after the face of God. Now I have to warn you and tell you there are some great problems in American Christianity today. There's a false gospel that says that men can be born again by the Spirit of God, but have zero desire to seek God after that. That is a false gospel. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. When God transformed a rebellious goat into a loving sheep, He gives him a new nature, new desires, new affection. You go to the farm, you see a pig wallowing in mud, eating the trash of that farm. Why does He do that? Well, that's His nature. He's a pig. He's dirty. He's filthy. He loves the mud. And so unbelievers love the mud of this world. They love to wallow in their own sin. They love to feast on that which is ungodly and impure. How can you make a pig clean? How can you make him eat that which is good? He's got to be transformed into a new creature. He's going to pursue what His nature is. And so we who are Christians have been transformed from the inside out by the grace and power of Christ through the gospel message, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we thirst after God. There's another problem in mainstream Christianity, and that is this, that many know God appear intellectually, but not in their heart. It is said that many people who go to church today are 17 inches from salvation. They know Christ up here, but they don't know Christ personally in their heart. The Pharisees could quote you the books of Moses. The Pharisees could dress up in their religious garments. The Pharisees could walk to the nearest synagogue holding their Bibles and look pious before others. But the Pharisees were those whom Jesus said, they draw nigh to God with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. What was the difference? The difference was their heart. Where is your heart today? Have you given your heart to Christ? My son, Proverbs says, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Have you given your heart to Christ? Your heart that is dirty and filthy, longing after the mud and the dirtiness of this world. And you can't change your heart by yourself. You need an outside source. You need somebody almighty, somebody who has power to do that. And so the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all sin. You give your heart to Him. He creates it, whereas it was a stony heart kicking against the things of God. He makes it into a heart of flesh whereby we desire and seek after the things of God. We desire to see God's power and glory in the face of Jesus Christ. We desire to praise God because of His loving kindness that is better than life. Can you pray that? Can you cry that prayer today? That God's loving kindness is better than life. What is your life? You see t-shirts out there in the community. Basketball is my life. Soccer is my life. Shopping is my life. What is your life consumed with? What is your heart long after? God's loving kindness is better than life because you can go through this life and live a life full of pleasure and die and go to hell. But God's love is better than life because God's love that is showered upon this life means life in the hereafter, eternal life. David says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands. And so our prayer, our cry ought to be that of Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth, glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. It delights God when His children run to Him and desire communion and fellowship. It delights God when you're like Mary and you sit at the feet of Christ listening to His Word. You're going to boast because you have lots of money? You're going to boast because you have lots of power and strength? Jeremiah says, no. Let him that boasts, boast in this, that he understands and that he knows me. For these things I delight in. Is every fiber of our being longing to worship God in sincerity and in truth? You remember the glory of your conversion, dear Christian, and you remember the excitement, the joy, the peace that overflood your heart. And then the battle rages and you go through this life and the ups and downs of the Christian life. And you say, I wish I could have my soul revived as it was when it was first converted, when I first longed after the things of God. Well, what has it that has stopped you from pursuing God? Hebrews tells us, looking unto Jesus, cast off the weight, cast off the sin that is preventing you from running the Christian race with all your strength. Cast it off and look unto Jesus. Are you worshiping God through His Word each day? It will do you no good if you only come to church one day out of the week, two times out of the week, and that's your only time in the Word. You want your soul revived. You want your heart refreshed. You must be in the Word. You want to see the glory and the power of God through the face of Jesus Christ. You must soak your souls with Scripture. You want to be revived. You want that joy. You want that overflowing passion that David had in the midst of your dark circumstances. You must get alone with God. You say, I'm too busy. How much TV do you watch in the day? How much time do you spend searching your Facebook account? Oh, come on, Casey, you're being too technical here. Oh. We say we want to see and know God. But our actions tell differently. I'm afraid we live in a culture of complacent Christianity where we like to get by with what we can get by and we don't want to seek that much more. Oh, that Westside Baptist Church would be a church that seeks after the living God. That we would be like Moses and we would cry out, oh God, show me thy glory. That we would be like Paul, that we would have the pursuit and to know God and the power of His resurrection. Are you seeking God through prayer? Evening, morning, noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. It's a divine promise that if we pray to the God of heaven, if we come to the throne of grace in our time of need, He shall hear our voice. And as we go to God through His Word and through prayer, we will find satisfaction, and that satisfaction brings joy. That satisfaction brings a thanksgiving. That satisfaction brings more passion to seek Him fervently. And if you claim to know Christ and you have no joy, you don't have Christ. If you claim to know Christ and you're not thankful for Christ, you have no Christ. And if you claim to know Christ, but your heart doesn't seek to crave after Him more, I'm afraid something's wrong with your heart and soul. This is not a desire that you put in there. This is the desire that God puts in there. David thirsts after God. Job says, there are many who are drinking iniquity down like water. There are times when our thirst, we are longing, and we seek to fill it with the poison of this world. Let's say you had a golden retriever and you threw the ball to him 100 times and he was longing for something to drink. His tongue's hanging out of his mouth. He is panting. He's desirous and you desire to give him rat poison to quench his thirst. I will kill him. He'll die. Yet I tell you, there are many today seeking to quench their thirst with the things of this life. Be it another relationship, be it a career, be it money, and being esteemed in the eyes of other men, and all that is poison to your soul. There can only be one thing that satisfies, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ invites you to come. He says in John 7, those who thirst, come unto me, drink of me. He is the living water, and those who believe and those who drink of Christ shall be satisfied. Blessed are they which do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? For they shall be filled. This is an evidence of conversion, that you hunger and thirst after the living God. And if you hunger and thirst after God, God gives you His promise that you will be filled. Filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Have I bored you with this message already? Is your heart not seeking to long after God afresh and anew? Oh, that fathers would get alone with God and pray and cry, oh God, let this passion of David be my passion. Could it be, dear Father, that your wife and your children don't have this passion because you're not setting that example in the home? Could it be that your neighbors, your co-workers, don't want anything that you have because you're showing forth a sour spirit? You call yourself Christian, but everything's mope, complaining, crying in the midst of darkness. The trusting soul. Dear Christian, I know there are many circumstances that come across our hearts and our lives. Many dark times seek to cause the light to go away. But if you understand David's context in writing this, you will see that it's a cause for us to trust in the Lord, that the Lord will defeat His enemies, that the gates of hell will not prevail against His work, against the church. Those who have wronged you in the past, the ungodly of this world, they will one day stand before a holy God who is the judge of the universe, and they will give an account. If you're seeking to make things right, if you're seeking to be God and say, I will take care of this myself, I'm going to write that on the blog. I'm going to leave that message on their phone. I'm going to let them know what I think and give them a piece of my mind. Be careful. David didn't stay up all night seeking how he could plan a way to defeat his enemy. No, he was focused on his God. He committed himself. God will take care of this. Be sure their sins will not, well, they will find them out. While it may seem that they're getting away with it now, while the atheists, the ungodly of this world, it seems that they're prevailing, be sure that Christ will have the victory. His enemies will be His footstool. This is the power of God. David trusted, he had confidence in this God, knowing that God sees everything. Nobody gets away with anything. The ungodly will not prosper. And this trusting soul waits upon God, knowing that God will be triumphant. And if we are in God through Christ, we are triumphant. David wrote other psalms after this account because God saved him. He heard His voice. And he had much more to do in life. And that's why he cries out here. Verse 7, because Thou hast been my help, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Therefore, in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What is it that's coming across your life, dear Christian? This past week, this past month, sickness, loss of family member, loss of job, forsaken by spouse, forsaken by close friends, you're still being pursued. And while your mind is tempted to continue to dwell upon that which others have done to you that is wrong, be like David and rest in the living God, knowing that you can be victorious in Him. Knowing that you can meditate upon God's love in the night watches and rejoice in your spirit. Be like Paul who said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. David's pursuit was not a half-hearted pursuit. David's pursuit was with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his mind. John 17, 2 and 3, this is life eternal. That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Do you know Jesus Christ? Does Jesus Christ know you? You must be born again if you are to enter into the kingdom of God. I urge you this morning. I plead with your soul. If you are here without Christ, if you are simply a Pharisee seeking to please God by your external piety, cast it off. Humble yourself. Find salvation full and free through the Lord Jesus Christ. See what He has done at Calvary. He came into this world. He lived a perfect and righteous life. He fulfilled the will of His Father. He was spit upon. He was rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He went to the cross of Calvary. He hung there, shed His blood with a crown of thorns upon His head, forsaken by God, because He had to become the wrath of God for us in our place, so that you might become the righteousness of God in Him. Have you heard this message? Have you believed this message? This is the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. just this last week, just overwhelmed with how short life truly is. Your life may be over tomorrow. Life is a vapor. Boast not yourself for tomorrow. I'll get right with God tomorrow. I'll wait till I have a family. I'll wait till my deathbed. Don't tempt God. Christian, I'll start seeking God later. I want to live my life. I want to live half-heartedly now. What a disgrace to the grace of God. He shed His blood on that cross. He was taken off the cross. He was placed in the tomb. 3 days later, He rose again victoriously, conquering sin, death, Satan, hell itself. He rose again, just as He has said. He is the living Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He gives eternal life for those who believe on Him. It's not by our good works that we are saved. It's by His mercy that He saves us. It's by grace through faith. Faith, confidence in Him. Confidence that His blood is sufficient to wash away your sin. Confidence that His life has been provided so that you can know God. And He offers this salvation to all who will believe, all those who will turn, repent, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're the enemy of God, I'm afraid verses 9 through 11 are for you. You will be destroyed in your sin. Your sin will find you out. In your heart, you may dress up, you may play the part of the Christian, but you know deep down within, I don't have this passion, I don't have this desire, I can't work it up myself. You may still be the enemy of God. You say, how can I have peace with God? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through baptism. Baptism, water can't wash away your sin. You say, I'll do good works. How many good works do you have to do to get to heaven? You say, I'll live a righteous life. You already failed. You were born into sin. You've broken all of God's commandments. You've hated your brother in your heart. You've lied against God. You've blasphemed His name. And as a sinner, you deserve God's wrath, God's justice. God is a judge, and He will not let sin simply pass by. Sin must be punished. The wages of sin is death. What you deserve is eternal death, eternal condemnation, because you have wronged God. You've chosen to stray from Him. That's the bad news. The wages, what you deserve. You earn a paycheck for working. At the end of the 2 weeks, you get paid. At the end of the month, you get paid. Those are your wages. That's what you deserve. Because of our life and sin, we deserve death, spiritual death, the lake of fire, which is the second death. And God would be just to throw us all in the lake of fire because of our sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith His great love He loved us, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift of God. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. You don't work for gifts. You don't deserve gifts. You're given gifts. My son's birthday's in a couple weeks. We're going to buy him a gift. We have to pay money for gifts. I'm going to give it to him. What does he have to do? He has to receive it. The gift of God, when He said, it is finished. For all those who will repent and believe, the gift is freely offered to you. Come. God calls you to come. Receive the gift. It's been paid for. The gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why will you reject Him? Why will you say Him no? How foolishness. Would you turn down $1 million, $5 million, $10 million? And yet you're going to turn down the eternal Son of God who came into this world to save sinners. You a sinner? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is David's cry in the wilderness. David's cry is after God. It was a God-centered song. Psalms, they're songs. What song do you sing in the times of your darkness? Perhaps it's, I don't know how God's going to do this. God's helped me in the past, but this might be too big for him. What song do you sing? What song are you singing? When those closest to you forsake you, where do you run? What do you say? What comes out of your lips? For David, the man after God's own heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks what was filled with his heart. Praise, worship, adoration, seeking, longing after God. Oh, I pray that we would all have this God-entranced vision, that we would seek him with our whole heart. What does Jeremiah say? Those who seek him with the whole heart shall be found. You're unconverted today. I give you Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You may not have tomorrow, friend. God knows the inward reality. He invites you to come. He invites you to believe. He invites you to drink. He invites you in this glorious, glorious journey to pursue him in his glory. There's no other God like our God. There's no other God that's satisfied. The God of money will not satisfy. The God of lust will not satisfy. Oh, but the God of scriptures, the God of heaven and earth, he satisfies the longing soul. Perhaps the Spirit of God is working in your heart today. He's drawing you. He's teaching you. He's showing you your sin and your need for the Savior. Humble yourself. Call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him from your hearts, even now. Lord, save me. He said, I don't have much faith. He just asked for a faith as a grain of mustard seed. Call. Repent. Look. Be converted. And dear Christian, what are the circumstances of your life? Let me tell you this. Your circumstances are not your problem. You ask that to Daniel, the lion's den. Daniel, who's told not to pray. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, surrounded by all these circumstances. Paul, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, spit upon, mocked, said that he blasphemed the name of God, the perfect, sinless Savior. The circumstances are not your problem. The problem's the heart. The problem is what you're longing after, what you're seeking after. Is all well with your soul today? If it is, rejoice in God. Praise him, worship him, seek him. Go back to this psalm and let it be your heart's desire. May your prayer be that of Asaph, who said, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh, my heart, they fail. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let God be the strength of your heart. Let God be your portion. He is worthy. Two questions. What does your heart long after? What satisfies your soul? Let us pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for such a great salvation that you have provided for us. Thank you, Father, that all those who come to you, that you will in no wise cast out. Thank you for salvation which is free. Thank you for salvation that has been purchased. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, all that He is, all that He's done for us. Oh, I pray that You would stir in our hearts and in our minds a new desire to seek Him with all the heart, that we would seek Him first. As David sought You in the morning, or as he cried, "Early will I seek Thee, O Lord," may this be our desire, even this day, on the Lord's day, that we would seek You, we would find You, we would rejoice in You, that our flesh, our spirits, our hearts would long after You, and we would find satisfaction in You alone. Forgive us, O God, the times where we have allowed our flesh to satisfy, where we have allowed the things of this world to satisfy. Forgive us of our idolatry. Father, are there some in this room who do not know You, who are far from God? Oh, they may speak peace with their lips, but yet they're in their sin. Oh, God, work so in their heart. Please, Father, open their eyes. Teach them of their sinful nature. Show them the glories that are in Christ alone. Father, we plead for souls. Let this place, Westside Baptist Church, be a place where people can come to know Christ and find Him to be faithful to those who come by faith. Oh, Lord, work in their hearts up through Your Spirit. Give them new life through Jesus Christ. For Christians, I pray, Lord, that we would repent, that we would forsake our half-heartedness of seeking You, that we would pursue You with a new heart, a new mind, new passions, and new desires. Let David's cry in the wilderness be our cry. Lord, no doubt there are heartaches. There are circumstances that have overflooded our heads this week. God, encourage Your people. Lift up their hearts. And I pray in the midst of their circumstances, they would look up to You. For those to whom there is a desert within their soul, let them find that You are the water. Father, have Your way as we close in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.